Okay, we are on Lamed Chesed Aleph, but we will go back to Lamed Chesed Beis, where Abaya has just introduced to us a new pshat in the Mishnah. Again, the contradiction of the Mishnah in the Reisha says that if she inherits, she can sell it. The Sefer says if she dies, the Yavam has a right to it. And the question is, Manushev, does he have a right? Does he not have a right? We had Ulu's pshat, we had Rabbi's pshat, now we have Abaya's pshat. It says that the Sefer is talking about that she inherited it while she was married to her husband. And during the marriage, Abaya holds, is a machlekes beishamai beisul in the strength of the husband vis-a-vis the wife. Beishamai holds that beisul holds yadai ki yada. Husband and wife are equal. Therefore, when the husband dies, the yavam is a step under. And therefore, the nechassim are b'chetz kassim. And beishamai holds that during marriage, husband is stronger than his wife in those nechassim. So when he dies, the yavam becomes like a partner, and therefore it's yachloikul. And the Reish is talking about a soul when she's a shmeres yavam, and he has zero rights while she's a shmeres yavam. Now the truth is, we could have asked an Abaya the same kasha that Rabbi asked the Ula. And that is, according to Abaya, that she inherited this field while she was married to her husband. And then her husband died. Why isn't the yavam claiming Paris? If you're saying he's a 50% partner, why does it depend on her death? Which is what Rabbah asked Ula. But Ula had said his shot. Rabbah had said, so why isn't Beit Shammai giving the Yavam half the payrus? Right? So the truth is, on Abaya, you have the same question. This is Nechassim that the woman inherited while she was married to her hubby. Her husband was entitled to the payrus. Her husband died now, and according to Abaya, after the husband dies, yadai ki yada, the yavam and the woman are equal, so she should have a claim to the parent. The Gemara will ask that question later on.
Doesn't that mean it will make it stronger than her?
Yes. According to Abaya, the machloikas beisum beishamai is, during the marriage, is the husband stronger or is the husband equal? Beisum holds during the marriage is equal, therefore when he dies, the yavam is a step under. Therefore, beisum paskins the chasum b'chetz chasum, even though it was something that the husband had a right in, but now that the husband's dead, the yavam is a step under her, and therefore we leave the nichsei melug in her possession. That's what Beis Hillel says. Beis Shammai says, according to Rashi, that during the marriage, yadai adifa miyada, and the husband is stronger than the wife. And ever since the husband is stronger than the wife, when he dies, the yavam becomes an equal. And therefore, when she dies, it's Yachloiku. That's how Rashi says Abaye explains the Gemara. Question is, if that's true that the Yavam is an equal, he should get 50% of the payrus. Why doesn't he get 50% of the payrus? So that is a Gemara we'll ask later on, but that is a kasha on Abaye.
But if he didn't know about the payrus.
Again, if the husband had it, why wouldn't he know about it? To his brother.
You know everything about your brother?
No, but that's not the case. So, Mother said, so how did you find out about it when she dies?
The question is, Rebbe, bottom line is, can Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, is there a machloka if the husband can sell the payrus to someone else?
Of course he can sell the payrus to someone else.
So that means he's better.
In the payrus, he's better. In the total picture, he's a 50%.
We're looking at it now.
Again, you're looking at one aspect, and Rashi is looking at the total picture.
What do you mean? If I sell it now...
Only the payrus, but the gold belongs to her.
But it's not okay anything.
I understand. But the bottom line is, we view them as equal partners in the field. Okay. Zakti Gemara Baik. Top line, Lama Tassam and Aleph. Amalei Rava. So Rava disagrees, because Rava holds that Beis Hillel holds Yadei Adifa Miyada. I'll make Rabbi Cohn feel good. Rava holds, the Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Cohn, that his right as a husband is more than her right. And therefore, when the husband dies, they're equals. Meaning, Beis Hillel would not argue on Beis Shammai. Because in that, since during the marriage the husband's right is the stronger one, when he dies, it would become an equal. So Rava disagrees with Abaya's pshat and Beis Hillel. Abaya's pshat and Beis Hillel was that during the marriage they were equal, and therefore after the husband dies, the woman becomes the stronger one. So Rava, it's not true. Amar le Rabbi, even Nachman she tachkam the bow. If she inherited while she was married, the kula amar le pliki the yada divam yada. Everybody would agree that the husband's stronger than her, and therefore,
even
Beitzel, this is Rabbi's opinion, and therefore, everybody would agree that if she died, the shemeres yabam would be entitled to take 50%. Even Beitzel would agree to that. There would be no nechassim becheskasam, because the chazaka would have been hurt. They were 50-50. And therefore, why should it be nechassim becheskasam? Right? That's Rava's opinion. Therefore, he can't learn like Abaya. Because Abaya learns that Beisul holds that during the marriage, it's yadai ki yada. And Beisul holds that, and Rava holds that Beisul holds yadai adifa mi yada. And therefore, after the husband dies, it's a 50-50 arrangement. And this is what Rashi meant, and I will reread that Rashi, that the Machlokes Abaye and Rava is, according to Beis Hillel, a Shemeres Yavam who dies and had property that she had while she was married, does the Yavam get part of it or not? Abaye would say Beis Hillel says no, and Rava would say Beis Hillel says yes. Because Rava holds, even Beis Hillel agrees, that during the marriage, the husband is considered the stronger one. Therefore, after the marriage, they're 50-50. So therefore, Rava does not like Abaye's shot. And I will reread that Rashi. Going to the first narrow line in the Rashi. Ubiksubas v'hakaisav, we read this yesterday. Nami bligi Abaye v'Rava. In the ninth Berak in Ksubas, this is a machlokes. The Kamar Abaye yodai ki yada. Abaye says, they're going to Beis Hillel. During marriage, they're considered equal. V'Rava amar yodai adifa miyodai. And Rava says during the marriage he's stronger. What's the difference? What's the difference? Who cares if he's stronger or equal? Nafkamina was Shemeres Yavam. And Nafkamina would be this case where he died. She's a Shemeres Yavam and she died. Abaye would say that Beis Hillel says it stays in her family because since they were equal during marriage, after marriage she's the stronger one. And Rava would say, not true. They still would agree that that it's equal. Okay, so therefore Rava says, the yada adifa mi yada, the next Rashi, v'afilu beisum b'aydi d'shakli yar shabal b'nechassim. So what is pshat according to Rava? So Rava now introduces a fourth pshat in the Mishnah. Ela idi v'idi d'nof v'lokshi shemeres yabam. Rava goes back, like Rava, and like Ula, that these are properties she inherited as a Shemeres Yavam. But unlike Rabbah and Ula, he says a different shot. Reisha de loy avid b'maymer, v'seifa de avid b'maymer. The Reisha of the Mishnah is, a woman inherited property when she was a Shemeres Yavam. She can sell it. It belongs to her totally. The Yavam has zero rights to it. Zero. Nil. Nothing. It doesn't make a difference whether she was an Arusa. It doesn't make a difference whether she was in a Suwa. It makes no difference. He has no rights.
Everyone holds that.
The Machloikas and the Sefer, he made a Mimer, which is a rabbinic. Well, that's the question. Now, after Mimer, she died. He made the Mimer. Did the Mimer entitle him to write in her property? He made a mimer. If he made a mimer, does that give him rights to her property? So Beis Shammai says, yes. Mimer makes him like a Suffolk Nesua. And therefore, he's entitled to 50% of the property. And Beis Hillel says, mimer is rabbinic. It does nothing. It does zero, zilch, nothing. And therefore, after Mimer, it's the same as before Mimer. It totally belongs to her. Reisha is talking about he didn't make a Mimer, and the Seif is talking about he did make a Mimer. The Kesava Reva. Mimer would be Shammai Oisavade Arusa, Vesavik Nesua. And now we're going now, like Rashi Lord. She becomes a Vada Arusa. Beshabehel Mimer is biblical. She's considered married to him. Remember we said, according to Beis Shammai, if her sister would fall, Should we go out with Shemachayit Isha? Once he did Maimer, he's married to her. It's a form of Yibum. It's like an Arusa. His sister goes out. Right? One sister fell. Reuben and Shimon were married to sisters. Reuben died. Levi made Maimer. Shimon died. Shimon's sister goes free. Because Levi already did Maimer, which is biblical according to Beit Shammai, at least so far. It's biblical according to Beit Shammai, and therefore the woman goes out with Shemachayit Isha. She's like in Arusa. The Savik Nesua. Vade Arusa Litchiz Betzara. It's Vade and Arusa that it pushes off the Tzara, which means he makes Maimer, the other woman can get married. Reuben died and left two wives. Levi makes Maimer and one, the other one is free. He did Yibum already. It's a form of Yibum. Not enough to make him a Sua, but to make him a Rusa, which is good enough. The Savik Nesua Lachzik Melchasim. When it came to properties, Chazal said, we don't know how to treat her. Is she a wife? That the property totally goes to him? Or is he Suffolk? So they made it a Suffolk, and Beis Shammai says you get 50%. And Beis Hillel says, Maimer is zero financially. Zero. Nothing. And therefore, Maimer is like before Maimer. And before Maimer, everybody agrees, and it totally hurts. She inherited this as a Shemberish Shabbat. He has no monetary rights. He has monetary rights in what the husband left, but belong to the husband, because that's Yadah Yadifim Yadah, but he has no monetary rights, and what he gets is the Shemar Shabbam. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, how he gets in it? Easy be easy to not look to Shemar Shabbam. Raise to the way of the Maimer, Kaidim Shanafu Anachasim, Tukach Zikim and Mahani, Vimidim and Achasim. Zikim means nothing, property-wise. The same for the Amba the Maimer. They said Maimer is kinyan. Because some of them, kinyan Maimer le Beishame kani kavade arusa who could suffer nesua. It's like a vade arusa, meaning as far as tzaras are concerned and all those things, he did yibum already. As far as monetary rights are concerned, we don't know. Remember we said that in the Mishnah? Levi did Maimer and Reuben's wife, and then Shimon dies. His wife goes totally free, because it's funny, Ishta Imai. Not kind of whole Yerusha. That's how Rava holds. What?
Right.
According to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, not according to Beis Hillel.
I understand that, but what's happening here is that Maimer is the Raisa.
According to Beis Shammai.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little bit crazy. We're saying it's Vade Arusa. But the Raisa is saying it's Vade Arusa, but the subject is...
No, the Raisa is not saying that. The Raisa says he's married to her. The Midrash said there's no difference in Erison and Nesuah, because there's no monetary rights anyway. There's no monetary rights. The whole monetary right the husband has and his wife is rabbinic, not biblical. Midrash makes no difference between Arusha and Nesuah.
When you're getting it here, we're dividing it, right?
Right. Because rabbinically, they made him like a Suffolk Nesua.
The Arusha part wouldn't have been...
Arusha part gets him no money. No Yerusha, nothing. They're not entitled to anything. Question is the Rabbanan add the Suffolk Nesua piece? That's the question. Did they make it like a Suffolk? Did they add monetary rights? Not while she's alive... Because she's a Vadai and he's a Suffolk, but if she dies, did they give him anything? That's the question. Beis Shammai says yes, and Beis Hillel says, Maimer is zilch, zero, nothing, makes no difference in economics at all. That's the machlokes. So if you look and recap the sugya, we have four different answers in how to answer the Mishnah. Ula's answer was, that was the first answer. The Reish is talking about she was an Arusa, and therefore she inherited as an Arusa. The Yavam has no rights because she was never married to her husband. The Sefer is talking about she was married, and therefore the Zika of the Yavam to her is like a Suffolk Nesua. The Rabbanon said, since she was married to her husband, we view the relationship between her and the Yavam as if it's a, like, monetarily, like a Suffolk Nesua. There's really no Nesua at all. There's no Harrison, there's no Nesua. All it is a lav, it's a bond. That bond creates, according to Beis Shammai, Suffolk Nesua. And therefore, Beis Shammai says, Yachloiku. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim, because custom, you do by Suffolk. Rabbi's question on Ula was, so the Yavam should be entitled to 50% of the Paris, according to Beis Shammai. Therefore, Rabbi learned, it's talking about she was in Nesua. She was definitely in Nesua. And when she was married. And then her husband died. And now we treat her like a Suffolk Nesua. Monetarily, which, again, it's not a Suffolk. It's just, we treat her like a Suffolk Nesua. Therefore, while she's alive, she's a Vadai, and he's a Suffolk. Ain't Suffolk, might be a Vadai. When she dies, they're both coming to inherit, so it's Suffolk versus a Suffolk. That's what Rabbah learned. Then we had a whole tumult with Suffolk, might be a Vadai, ain't Suffolk, we got it. Abaya said the third shot. The race is talking about that she inherited as a Shemeret Yavam, and therefore he had zero rights. The Sefer is talking about she was a married woman, and she had those fields as a married woman. Beis Shammai said during her marriage to her husband was the main owner. Therefore, the Yavam is a 50% owner. And Beis Hillel says during the marriage to her husband, the husband was a 50%. Therefore, the Yavam is left, and he doesn't get anything. That's Abaya's shot. Rava says a fourth shot. She inherited as a Shemeret Yavam. And it makes no difference what she was. Arusa, Nesua, makes no difference. What happened is he made a mimer. And Beis Shammai holds mimer gives him financial rights. And Beis Hillel says mimer is nothing. And in the race, he didn't make a mimer. So everybody holds he has no financial rights. That's Rava's shot. That's the fourth shot in the Gemara. Dr. Gemara, I hope I'm clear.
Can you make that four questions and not one on the test, Rebbe?
You made a mistake in typing, Rabbi Kleinman. I'm hearing about it all week.
What did I do?
You said, what's the Machlekes Tanakam and Abaya? It was Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. I wrote Reish Alo Beis Yud, and you wrote Alo Beis Yud.
Yeah, I'll fix it.
Too late now. I mean, whoever took it away took it. Nothing about it. Bit Mahar Mishmeder Ablazer Kavasa de Rava, Bit Mishmeder Abyeisi Bechanina Kavasa de Abaya. These are earlier Amaroyim. They lived 200 years before Rava and Abaya. Ablazer learned like Rava that the argument is a Mimer argument. Abyeisi Bechanina learned like Abaya that the Machlekes is who is the stronger one during the marriage, and therefore it carries over to the Yavam. Check the Gemara. V'amar Ablazer, Ma'amar L'Beis Shammai, N'Kainah L'Lizchus B'Tzar B'Vad. Beis Shammai, according to Ablazer, Beis Shammai holds Ma'amar's rabbinic. He held that she still needs Chalitza. All it did was, it says, all Ablazer said was that all Ma'amar does is it pushes away the Tzara, which means, if I remember correctly now, I have to go back to that Gemara. The Mimer is rabbinic, right? The Mimer is rabbinic. And all it means is that we don't ask Rav Chai Skuka. What happened was Reuben's wife, Reuben died, Levi made Mimer, then Shimon's wife died, right? So she's Rav Chai Skukasa. Since he made Mimer, we don't say Rav Chai Skukasa. But Enoch Inami, it really doesn't help biblically at all. It has no halachas at all. So what is Rav Lazar learning like Rava, which makes it sound that Mimer accomplishes who knows what? Rav Lazar held Mimer was just to take away the Yisra Chayzik HaKasai. It had no biblical meaning at all. Zakti Gemara, Epoch. You're right. It's Reb Blazer that said like Rava, and Rabbi Yaakov Bachanina that said like, I'm sorry, Reb Blazer said like Abaya, and Rabbi Yaakov Bachanina that said like Rava. Ibai Zemel Oilam Bai Sepuch. I'm a Lech Reb Blazer. And basically what the Gemara is going to say like this. You're right. Reb Blazer holds my is only rabbinic. It's still a question. Did Rabbanon give any monetary rights? You're right. The way we explained it, Maimer was biblical. And the question was, did Rabbanon give monetary rights? Reb Blazer will say, Maimer is only rabbinic. But the Machlokes says, did they get monetary rights with this rabbinic halacha called Maimer? So again, you can still learn that Maimer is rabbinic. It's a question of monetary rights. I'm a Lech Reb Blazer. Here I'm not going to talk about it. All I said was, the Maimer doesn't work biblically. That is not enough. Oh boy, Nami Chalitzim. If he wants to get rid of her, he still has to do Chalitzim. But Lachlik, when the cost of the economy, did I affect it monetarily? He can still get monetary rights. So the Machlokes can still be. Did Maimer give him monetary rights or not? The way we explained it before was because Maimer is biblical. You don't have to say that. You can say Maimer is rabbinic. Did they give him monetary rights or not? Rashi. Kavasid Abaya, the safer but the never going to show up at Tampa Sabal. Like Abaya, the safer is talking about that the husband had it. Something about Amar and Papa. The Yuka the Masnissin Kavasid Abaya. If you ask me, the Mishnah reads best according to Abaya. But the Abaya got the Kasha Mesa. Even though I have a question in Abaya, why did it have to say she died? We could have had the argument about Paris. According to Abaya, that Yada is more than Yada during marriage. So after marriage, Yada is a 50% owner. He should get Paris. So even though I don't understand according to Abaya why she question that only comes up if she dies, but if you read the Mishnah, he makes the most sense. Why? Because the Tani Nechnosim HaNechnosim V'yaitzim Ima. We're referring to Mixim Lug as the Nechnosim that came in and left. Now, if she inherited this as a Shemeres Yavam, it never came in. What do you mean it came in? It never came in. She inherited it after her husband died. Why would we be referring to this as Nechnasim HaNechnasim V'yaitzim Ima? Bishleim, if she was married and she had inherited it when she was married, so she brought it into the marriage, and then when her husband died, it came out. But according to the other pshatim that she inherited as a Shemeres Yavam, what do you mean nechnasim? It never went in. That's our question. Never went in. It didn't go, there was no second marriage yet. And what do you mean yaitzen? Either went in or it didn't come out. Now, we learned till now that that's a synonym to Nichtim Elug. Normally, Nichtim Elug are Nichnasim V'yaitzim. So instead of saying the word Nichtim Elug, or instead of saying she inherited something that would become Nichtim Elug, we use the term Nichnasim V'yaitzim. But that's not really what happened. But according to Abaye, it really happened. She brought it into the marriage, and it came out. So it's Meduyek like Abaye. Papa. The Tani Nechnasim HaNechnasim HaNechnasim V'yaitzim Imam. My Nechnasim U'my Yaitzim. What does Nechnasim mean and what is Yaitzim? Nav Nechnasim U'shusabal V'yaitzim U'shusabal U'shusab. But we have got the Kasha Mesa. I still have a Kasha. Why does this argument have to be if she died? Ad Rifle Yibigubu L'Acham Paris. Lifle Chayel L'Paris. According to Abaya, he should be entitled to 50% of the Paris. The Sulaimidi, there's nothing more to this. Meaning, the Mishnah is Meduhik like Abaya, and there's a question. Let's not get involved. Finish. End of discussion. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Kavasid Abaya, the Besev and Nevel, which is Takas Abaya, the Kasha Mesa, the Kavim Mepharish. The Yaitim Shus Abaya, Kasha Mesa, Alma, the Nafal Takas Abaya, makes it sound like she got it while she was under her husband. As the Mufal, the Gubba, Shukar, Kalacha, Misa, Lift the Gubba, Chayau, Lepheris. He's 50% owner. There's nothing to argue. The Vada Daiki Kavase, for sure, the Mishnah is more Meduyik like him. The Kasha Le Mesa, and the Kasha Mesa is still Shver. So at the end of the day, we have four different pshatim in the Mishnah. Each one learns their own way. You have Ula, you have Rabba, you have Abai, and you have Rabba. Dr. Gemara writes, the Mishnah said, way back in the next last Amud, Kansa, when he does Yibum, Hariki Ishta L'chol Davar. She becomes his wife for everything. Dr. Gemara L'may Hilchasa, what do you mean it's like his wife for everything? Amrav Yaiti B'chanina Loi Mishim Agar Shebeget. From now on, he doesn't have to give chalitz anymore. He did Yibum. Once he did Yibum, she's subject to divorce, like any other wife. Doesn't need the chalitza. Umak zero. And he's allowed to take her back, even though it's his brother's wife. And he did the mitzvah already. But once the Torah allowed him to get married, the Torah allowed him to treat him like any other wife. He can divorce her and take her back. Megar should get pshita. Why would I think she needs chalitza if he did Yibum? Says the word v'yibma after he took her. V'yibma doesn't belong after he takes her. Maybe there's still yibum left. Maybe there's some zika left. And she would need chalitza. Kamash malan, no. That once he takes her, it's totally his wife. Machzir abshita. Why would I think he can't take her back? The Gemara, Sankirai to Chamina, Mitzvah de Rami Rachman Alei Avda. He did his mitzvah. Listen, we're not going to make him divorce after Bia Rishayna, but he did his mitzvah. Now he divorced her. So good. So finished. It takes us off. Sankirai to Ash to take him away, but it takes us off. Kamash Malon that we don't say. Frank the Gemara, Bia Mochin Ami, how do you know not? Amakor, Lekach Alei, Leisha, Kima Shalom, Kari, Kishtu, Lechol Dabar. Rashi, says after he took her. Going on the whole thing. Why does it have to say v'yibma? So what is v'yibma for? Ilik the Rabbi Bekerakam Lesser Atoras Varayas. Back in Abchas, Rabbi learned out the Isser Tzaras from the word V'yibma. The Grabon of V'yibma Balkarcha, that he can do it against her will. Look to Gemaravite. Mabach takes Subasa. My time. The Ksuba is only on their husband's right possessions. That's what the Mishnah said, right? Reuven died, Shimon did Yibum. The woman collects from Reuven's fields, not from Shimon's fields. Now, before we move on, the question is, my nafkamina. Bottom line is, Shimon inherited Reuven's fields. So what difference does it make if she collects from Reuven's fields? Because the halacha is, if Reuven doesn't have fields, she collects from Shimon's field. What does Shimon gain by the fact that her shibud is only on Reuven's fields? If Reuven doesn't have fields, he has to pay from his pocket anyway. And if Reuven has fields, what difference does it make to him? He owns both of them. The Tyson's Navkamina is as follows. What would happen if Shimon sold his fields? Reuven had fields. Reuven died and left over a beautiful estate. And Shimon had his own estate. And Shimon did Yibum. And Shimon decided to sell his own fields. Afterwards, an earthquake came and ruined Reuven's fields. And now he divorces his wife. She wants to come collect from the Shubadim. She says, I have a lien on your field, Shimon. The answer is, no, you didn't. When he sold the field, at that point, your lien was on Reuven's field. Now, granted, once there was an earthquake, Shimon became responsible from his own property, but he doesn't have any property now. He sold it. Shibud is only if the lien preceded the sale. There was no lien on Shimon's field. The lien was on Reuven's field. When Shimon sold the field, there was no lien on that field. Reuven still had an estate. So the sale preceded the lien. Now Reuven's field gets an earthquake. Now the woman comes to Shimon and says, okay, now you're responsible. Shimon says, I'm 100% responsible, but Shimon died. He doesn't have any estate. There's nothing to collect from. So if the Shibum would have been on Shimon right away, as soon as he did Yibum, and we would have said to Shimon, listen, you took the wife, you're responsible for her Tzuba, there would have been a lien on Reuven Fields and a lien on Shimon Fields. But since Reuven left an estate, and Chazal did not make Shimon responsible for the Tzuba at this point, so there's no lien on Shimon Fields. Now he sold his field without a lien on it. Reuven's field got ruined afterwards. Because the Torah, Chazal said, that when Shimon does Yibum, the Ksuba remains on her first husband's estate. That's what's Meshubah Ter Ksuba. Unless the first husband didn't have an estate. Then Shimon has to step in and owe his estate. But if he had an estate, the lien is on that field. She has no right to Shimon's fields. The question is, might not have Kamina. When Shimon dies, she'll collect from Reuven. It belongs to Shimon anyway. And if Reuven doesn't have, she'll collect from Shimon. So the difference is, if Shimon sold it off, at the time of the sale, there was no lien. Because the lien was only on Reuven's fields. So when Shimon sold the field, there was no lien on those fields. Now, Reuven's field got ruined. So she wants to come collect from the ones he sold, what Shimon sold. And the answer is, she can't. She can't collect from the one Shimon sold because there was no lien on that. That's the nafkamina if there is a lien on Reuven's field or there's no lien on Reuven's field. Frank the Gemara. My Taiva. Why is there no lien on Shimon's field? He's her husband. As Rabbi Cohen pointed out yesterday, isn't someone automatic when you marry somebody? Why is he not responsible? Dr. Gemara Isha Hikna Loim and Hashemayim. He never took her. Meaning, he is assuming the role of his brother. And therefore, he is assuming his brother's obligation, not his own. The Nesiva explains this as he becomes an extension of his brother. And the Tzuba remains intact as was. He left Lamanarishan. However, if he doesn't have anything, the first one, Takino Lamishay, then they made a new Takana that he has to give her from his own. They slid Halakainam and Kalabainam. We don't want him to be able to divorce her. Right? We want to make it difficult to divorce. That's why we made Suba to begin with. So we put an end into place. But only if the first one doesn't have Nechasim. If the first one has Nechasim, there's no reason for us to make Suba. He won't divorce her anyway. He's going to lose his brother's field. Doesn't want to lose his brother's field. So there was no reason for us to make his own Ksuba because he just stepped into his brother's shoes. So there's no reason for us to make his own Ksuba. He stepped into his brother's shoes. He had the same obligations as his brother. Rashi. Ishi hikna lo liyavim in Hashemayim. V'lo yishibut nechasav l'ksubasav. He never was mishabat his fields to her Ksuba. V'yochum l'maychum b'chalei shiirtza. Therefore he can sell it from Adelin. He left from a reason to left in the chasim. The first brother died and didn't leave over an estate. So then the Rabbanan had to step in and make a new takana that even though he's stepping into his brother's shoes, we're making him give his own ksuba. Zuck the Mishnahite. Mitzvah the Gadol Liyavim.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's a good question. I haven't figured it out in my mind. So he marries her and he takes over his brother's place. The Yavam marries her, he takes over her brother's place. So he now inherits his brother. Besides the ksuba, the amount of the ksuba, he gets everything above and beyond that, right? So far that's correct, right? Then he divorces her. Is he divorcing her as his own wife? I know he gives a get. Or is he divorcing her as part of taking over his brother's place?
An Avkamina.
Does he get to keep the Nechasim above and beyond the Ksuba?
Absolutely. He inherited his brother. That's his. Forever and ever and ever.
Because he's the one who married her.
Correct. Now let me step back. What would have happened if he did Chalitza, not Yibum? Then all the brothers would have come and inherited.
Right.
She gets no inheritance. The wife never inherits her husband. All she's titled to is the Ksuba. The rest of the property would have been split amongst the Yarshim. There are no children here, obviously. That's why there's Yibum. So they go to the nearest kin, which is the brothers.
Okay.
He does Yibum, he takes it all, and the rest of the brothers get nothing. He divorces
and
them in the next morning.
Once the chalitza is done by any of them, if that's the way they're going, then they could never marry her again. She remains an Eish Hatzach.
Well, it's a law, but it doesn't make a difference, yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
If a woman, if Reuben dies, if Reuben dies and leaves over a ton of money, Shimon can run and be out of his wife, and the next morning give her a get, and walk away with all that money. And that's exactly why Abishol doesn't like Yibum.
Uh-huh.
Abishol says, Yibum was intended for people that mean L'shem Shemayim. It wasn't intended for people that are doing it because she's beautiful, and it wasn't intended for people that are doing it because he was rich. And if a person does that, Abishol says he's playing with Karet. Playing with Karet. And one doesn't want to play with Karet. That's why Abishol suggests very strongly stay away from Yibum. You're right. For this exact charade.
What's the charade? He gets a pin of stupid, doesn't he? Yeah.
The guy is a multimillionaire, Reuven.
Well, if it's only going to be a partial Yibum, that's what you're saying? Yeah.
If he didn't do Yibum, he would have to split it with his six brothers. He runs and does Yibum, he inherits everything. The next morning, he sends her, gives her a get and gives her a 200 zuz suba. Gone, goodbye, Charlie.
And that was from the original brother's estate anyway, right?
Right, that was from the original brother's estate. He gets to keep the rest of it. Nothing. And he's legal, totally legal. Abishol says that's exactly what we don't want. It's exactly what we don't want. But you're right, if he did it, nothing we could do then. He made a lot of money. He used her.
But it's not like...
Oh, he did it L'shem Shemayim.
No, even if he didn't do it L'shem Shemayim, he's not going to be punished for it.
Oh, well, this is a Sojourn Memo today. Stay tuned to have a show's opinion about people who do things like L'shem Shemayim. We'll have a whole Sojourn Memo today dealing with this in length. No, I'm sorry, Lama Testament Day coming up next week. The whole sugya in Abishol. This is it. This is where it is. Since Nav Gimel Amud Aleph, when Abishol's name was mentioned first, we've been waiting breathlessly to get to Lama Tessamud Beis.
So what happened with the people who said that he does Yibum one time and that's it? Is that referring to giving a get afterwards?
I have no idea what you're referring to. Who said he does Yibum one time? There's a
you never had that
that's
before?
What?
That he does it one time, L'shem Shemayim, and that's it?
I have no idea. All we said was that the mitzvah is one time. So by Chaim Lavin, biblically speaking, he could do it one time and then divorce her. But by a regular woman, there's no such a thing. He should do it one time and then get rid of her. Why? It's his wife. The Torah permitted him to marry her. He's marrying her L'shem Shemayim. Why should he get rid of her?
So what was one? I'm sorry. Then what was one case where he did it one time and then he left her?
There's no case that we told the person to do it one time. We talked about why is there no Yibum by Chai V'Lavin. When the woman is alive, why don't we say Esther Dekha Lysessa?
Oh, I see.
So
yeah,
we
right.
said because the mitzvah I say is the first time. And he wouldn't be allowed to do the second time. And we don't trust him to just do it one time, not a second time, so we don't even let him do it one time, rabbinically.
Okay. Is it a takana for the neshama of the dead brother if he takes advantage of the situation just to get the money and then divorces her the next day?
Yes, I can't tell you. I have no idea. I have no idea what happens to the neshama. By the way, the Gemara never mentions the neshama. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. The Mekubalim say that Yibum is good for the neshama, And today that we know Yudibum, Chalitza is good for the Neshama. But it's never mentioned that in the Gemara. So you're not going to find in the Gemara a discussion about what it does for his Neshama.
So after, if Chalitza is the end result, okay, all right, thank you very much.
Up to Mishnah. Mitzvah of a God will have him.
The
mitzvah.
The question I have is,
do we ever give in to the Nebuchadnezzar? Why can't we wait to get to Abba Shaul and instead of discussing it now? Except it's more fun to discuss it now because we can just say whatever we want. We're not limited by the Gemara.
I'm just asking a question. Is the Torah given to B'nai Malachim? The Torah is given to B'nai.
What do you mean by B'nai Malachim? You mean Malachim, not Malachim. Malachim. There are no B'nai Malachim.
Well, I'm saying Malachim, right.
Okay. Is the Torah given to angels? No, it's given to humans.
That's right.
Right.
Humans are frail.
But so why don't we wait till we get to Abba Shaul and Rabbanon and we'll discuss the frailty of humanity?
Because if I could be wrong when I'm saying them.
That's why it's good to die to wait for the Gemara. You don't think that humans are strong enough to be able to do things with Hashem Shemayim?
No.
Wow, that's a very, very, very sharp statement.
I mean, I'm not trying to.
I mean, this is the guy who's always talking.
No, this is Mr. Tzaddik himself. That's what happens. Your wife doesn't serve you supper. You know what I mean? You don't think about eating with Hashem Shemayim.
People are frail. You know, the longer I'm around,
it's a major shift. You know what I mean? This is what happens when Joe Biden becomes president. You know what I mean? The major shift here.
Major shift.
You became a much more
big. Once Biden became president,
you just changed your whole lifestyle. Till now, you were talking about everybody does everything with Hashem Shemayim only. And now you say nobody does anything with Hashem Shemayim. And my answer is some people do and some people don't. I know people that eat with Hashem Shemayim. Not me, but people that are chashuva, people that eat with Hashem Shemayim only.
One person in the city, the worst fill-in during the day.
There's more people that work than with Hashem. But that, you don't know what all the other people do.
In this city?
Again, if you would know about him, it wouldn't be private. Mitzvah because we have him. It's a mitzvah for the Gadol to do Yibum. Zok Rashi, we learned it out from Behoya B'chor. Remember back, we learned B'chor meant the oldest one. Not necessarily. No. No, just that I get a text this early in the morning. Somebody's up this early in the morning. Not necessarily the oldest one, the older one. Leiratza, how can I call Achim? He doesn't want to do Yibum, we go to the next brother. He doesn't want, we go to the next brother. Now the Gemara will discuss what happens if the older brother says, I'll do Chalitza, and a younger brother wants to do Yibum. Who gets precedence? Reuben dies, he leaves over three brothers. Shimon, the older one, says, I have no interest in Yibum, but I'm willing to give him Chalitza. Levi says, I'll do Yibum. What does Loi Ratza mean? Is he refusing to get involved at all? Is Shimon saying, leave me alone, I don't want Yibum, I don't want Chalitza, I have nothing to do with her, goodbye. Then we go to Levi. What does Loi Ratza mean? He didn't want to do Yibum, but he's willing to do Chalitza. That's going to be a Shaila in the Gemara. That's why Rashi in the words Loi Ratza says, Mefarish B'Gemara. We don't know what Loi Ratza means. He didn't want what? To do Yibum or to do anything? Now how can I call Achim? You go to the next brother and then down to the next brother. Loi Ratza, if no one wants, Chayzun Eitz Gadol. We go back to the oldest brother and say, listen, fella, Elecha Mitzvah. It's your mitzvah. I go, I say, listen, nobody wants to do anything, sir. It becomes your obligation. Put up. You're the oldest brother. Talibikat Natsiakdo. What if the old brother tells you, listen, I got a younger brother, he's 8 years old. When he turns 13, he'll do Yibum. Let's wait it out. I don't want to do anything. He's around. He's a nice boy. He got 13. He'll love to do Yibum. Let's wait. I, the God, let you have him. the older brother, the oldest brother around, is in China. So Levi says, listen, it's Shimon's mitzvah. I don't want to intrude on Shimon's mitzvah. Shimon's coming back in a few years from now. He's in China on business. He'll come back. He'll take care of it. I cherish Reshaita. One of the brothers is cherish Reshaita. They say, listen, he'll do Yibum. This guy, if cherish can do Yibum, let him do Yibum. Reshaita. He can do Yibum. We'll learn that later in the Masechta. Reshaita can't, but Reshaita can. The halacha is, or he says, the Rambam learns, he says, listen, they're coming out with new medication. The Reshaita will become normal. Let's wait it out. Ain't Shimon like. We don't do that to the lady. I remember, Alecha Mitzvah, you are the oldest brother here now. Aicha Leit, Aicha Ben. Rashi. Tell her we cut and cut and mamish. Ube Gadol took Rashi. Aicha Haya Gadol Ha'achim Emdina Sayyam. The oldest brother was in a faraway place. He actually, Achim, he has a brother here. Ha'gadol Ha'achim Shilfaneinu, that's the older here. V'tala Gadol Ha'achim Shilfaneinu, boy. And the oldest brother here says, let's wait for the real oldest brother. He might do Yibam. The Gemara is going to say, if it's, why don't we listen to him? If it's a bigger mitzvah to have chalitza from the oldest brother, let's listen. Wait. The Masa Bechalitz. Alma, you see from the Gemara that Isis Shemdina Sayyam Gadol Shebechol Achimu. Rashi's bringing this piece of Gemara just to prove that the Gemara understands the Mishnah that the oldest brother is out of town. And therefore, the younger brother is saying, let's wait to do it the right way. Alecha mitzvah, Sha'ava Bishachicha Bemdina Sayyam Gadol Mucha, even though he's the oldest brother, Kivan Da'ata Gadol Achim Shalufanenu, you are the oldest brother here. Alecha mitzvah. The Shahuya mitzvah loy mashinon. We do not delay mitzvahs. Halchim afarish b'gemara, and the Gemara will explain the Mishnah two different ways. Because again, if you remember correctly, we have a shaila: is the younger brother's yibum better than the oldest brother's chalitza, or not? So the Gemara is going to try to prove it from the Mishnah. At the end of the day, there will be two different ways to learn the Mishnah.
Have they read the case of Bechor that the Fifas Shul dies?
Bechor meant the oldest available brother. That's what we translated Bechor to mean.
Bechor dies, will the second brother get Pishnayim?
No. Why should he?
The father's.
Did he do Yibum?
Yeah.
So then we said before that that he gets Pishnayim and the father's thing. It was the Gemara.
Not a regular case of...
Why should the second guy be Zinai, but not the Bechor?
So,
he's not Reish Zinai.
That's
what the Torah says, no?
I understand that. Over here also say, Vaya Bechor, it only is Bechor.
Welcome to the Gemara. Thank you for bringing this up. Welcome to the Gemara. On that, Chav Dalon Amad Aleph, where the Gemara said the whole Amad, saying the Bechor doesn't mean Bechor, means the oldest. From Eishes Achav Shleibay Lamai, all kinds of drushes we had to prove this. Time to learn Chav Dalon Amad Aleph. It's only 15 bar ago. Time to chazer.
Why is this Mishnah brought in Kansas? Why did we learn it there? What's the difference between two?
So there, I think the Mishnah said something else. The Mishnah was talking about over there.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why it's in second place. I don't have a good answer.
Part of that.
I haven't prepared any. I am exactly prepared to where I'm up to now, and therefore anything ahead of me. What? Exactly. It's on time. I timed myself perfectly.